Thank you, Alana and Jody. And maybe we can just start by praying. God, we do come before you and we do want to know your heart. We want to know you and want to experience your presence in our lives. And so we pray this morning that you will show us how we can do that. You'll show us how we can live more deeply in relationship with you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. My name is Marty and I'm one of the pastors here. And I'm glad you're with us this morning. We're finishing off a series here at North Shore Alliance called Cultivating Our Life with Christ. And it's a series that's focusing on developing our communion, our connection, and our relationship with God, and particularly our part in that. Now, 2 weeks ago, Pastor Mark spoke about the spiritual disciplines or the spiritual practices that help us to engage with God. And he spoke about the disciplines of engagement, like prayer and Bible study, and the disciplines of abstinence, like silence and solitude, and how they were a little bit like breathing. And so just as we need to breathe in and breathe out to have a healthy life, so in our spiritual lives, we need to be involved in both disciplines of engagement and disciplines of pulling back. And last week he spoke about the barriers that we might have in our lives to actually doing these spiritual disciplines. Barriers like perhaps excuses like I'm too busy, or more real fears in our lives like maybe it's too late for me, feelings of guilt and shame that keep us from engaging with God. And hopefully Mark convinced us that there need be no barriers when it comes to doing these spiritual practices. This morning, in the final part of the series, what I'm going to be focusing on is how to incorporate these practices into our very busy and full lives. Now, I think that as humans, we all crave life with depth. We long to experience beauty and truth and meaning and a connection with someone beyond ourselves. We want our lives to be about more than just surviving. And Jesus taught us that abundant life is ultimately found in connection with God. In a series of parables where Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven, he said this, and I'm going to be reading from Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. So Jesus tells us this parable about a jeweler who's looking around for things to buy, and he finds the most valuable of things, this pearl of great price. And it's so valuable that he decides to sell everything he has in order to be able to buy the pearl. And what Jesus was talking about is the pearl of great price is the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is a way that Jesus used to describe a life lived under the rule and reign of God, a life lived in right relationship with God. And so Jesus is saying that when we discover the pearl of great price or this relationship with God, that we, if we really knew the value of it, we'd be willing to rearrange our lives totally so that we could live that kind of life. Now, in reflecting on this verse or these verses, it brought up a couple questions for me. The first question is, do we really believe that life lived in right relationship with God is the pearl of great price or the ultimate life? Some of you may be at this place right now where you're wondering, is that really the case? Is knowing God really worth it for me? The second question this verse brought up for me, or these verses brought up, is if it is, if knowing God is this pearl of great price, what might it look like for us to rearrange our lives in order to buy it? So how do we do that? And this morning I'm going to focus more on that second question. How do we rearrange our lives in order to experience a deep, meaningful relationship with God? Now, during this series, we've suggested that responding to God through regular spiritual disciplines or regular practices is one of the key answers to this question. And we've tried to emphasize that spiritual disciplines are to help us open up our connection to God, to help us to listen to God and to hear God's heart, as that song talked about. At the beginning of September, we did a church-wide survey where we asked you the question, how important do you feel regular spiritual practices are to your life? And good news, 77% of us said that regular spiritual practices are very important to our lives. But although the vast majority of us felt like that was important, it looked like about 40% of us were actually able to incorporate them into our daily lives. And so it's much harder to live it out than it is to imagine it's important. And this struggle to incorporate spiritual practices into our lives, it's not a 21st century problem. It's actually always been a problem for the people of God. And in the 5th century, there was a monk who tackled this problem in a very clear way. His name was Benedict of Nursia, and he established what he called a rule for how to live a Christ-centered life. Now, the word rule sounds like a list of do's and don'ts, doesn't it? But this word that he used actually comes from the Greek word for trellis. And a trellis is a tool that is designed to help a vine or a rose bush grow up, get a lot of sun, and become more productive and fruitful. And in the same way, the rule of life can be a trellis that helps us to abide in Christ, to help us to become more fruitful in Christ. Now, some of you, when you hear that word rule, will react to it. Oh, you don't like rule, so you don't want to have anything to do with it. But if you want to, substitute the term rhythm for rule. And every time I say rule, just in your head, think rhythm. And when I first heard that term, I was one of those people who needed to substitute, because I don't like rules very much either. But one of the first people in the Bible that we see who had a rule of life was the prophet Daniel. And if you look in Daniel 6, you'll see that in his rule, he stopped 3 times a day, got on his knees, and prayed. Now, he was very committed to this rule, and he was so committed that it got him into big trouble with the king of Babylon, and he ended up where? In the lion's den. He was not giving up on his rule, even if it meant he was going to die. So you can read more about that in the book of Daniel. But remember that the goal of the rule of life is to enable us to flourish in our relationship with God. It helps us take ownership for our part in the relationship. It's a trellis, a tool that helps us do that. In his recent book, Stephen Macchia wrote, it's called Crafting a Rule of Life, he wrote this: "Your personal rule of life is a holistic description of the spirit-empowered rhythms and relationships that create, redeem, sustain, and transform the life God invites you to humbly fulfill for Christ's glory." And so that sounds very appealing, this holistic, spirit-empowered rhythm that helps sustain our relationship with God. The goal of the rule of life is not order, and it's not structure or even life change. The goal of the rule of life is to enable us to live in Christ, to live according to the Spirit. And so when we use the term rule, we mean something like a guidepost or a railing, a trellis, a plan of life, a set of principles that helps lead us in a certain direction. It helps us make decisions about what we'll include in our life and what we'll leave out of our life. And a rule of life is more wisdom than it is law. A rule involves both planning and pattern. Now, most of us are used to planning. If you're a student, you know what you want to study, so you figure out when those courses are, you plan when you're going to study, you attend, and you eventually graduate. If you're thinking you want to buy a house or a car or retire someday, you're involved in financial planning and you set money aside so you can later do what you want to do. The rule of life says that being a spiritual person takes some planning. It just doesn't happen. It moves our intention to action. So, for instance, I'd love to learn Italian. It's part of my heritage, and our family is reapplying for Italian citizenship. But unless I sign up for a class or make a regular appointment to meet with an Italian speaker, I'm never going to learn Italian. It's just not going to happen. I need to plan to make it happen. We also all have patterns in our lives. We get up at a certain time. We eat breakfast at a certain time. We maybe read the newspaper or read news online. We hang out with friends in a regular way and also maybe watch our favorite TV show. And the rule of life goes something like this: I want to develop a growing relationship with God, so I'm going to establish a pattern in my life to cultivate God's presence in my rhythms of work, rest, solitude, play, and community. Now, some of the key practices for building a strong spiritual life are prayer, studying and meditating on the Bible, taking a day of rest, spending time in silence, and developing friendships with others who share our spiritual values. And there's no right formula for this rhythm or trellis. It depends on how we're wired and what season of life we're in. So some of us are introverts, and we need a lot of time alone. So our rule will include more time alone. Some of us are extroverts, and we connect more with God in groups when we're praying with other people. And so our rule will probably have more community in it. Some of us are artists, and beauty leads us to God. And others of us are activists, and we experience God when we're serving God. All of us are also in different stages of life. Some are single, some are married, some are retired, some are working or students. And it's easy to think, if I was in a different stage of life, then I could be a spiritual person. But the rule of life says that a spiritual life can be had in everyday life, in every stage of life. And so our rule will be adjusted according to that stage of life we're in. A rule of life also recognizes that as humans, we're fickle and frail creatures. And while we may want to connect with God, we may sing songs of connection with God, it's hard for us to do that. And it's so easy for other things to get in the way. Pastor and writer Elizabeth Archer Klein teaches about the difference between trying and training. And she says that trying is sort of an intention. Oh, maybe tomorrow things will be different. Tomorrow I'll spend time with God. But training sets up a deliberate pattern so that we can set out to see change. And when it comes to physical and spiritual training, it's not necessarily how much we do, but it's how we plan and do it well. We want to create a system for growth. The Apostle Paul, who is one of the first Christians in the New Testament who started planting churches in the Greek and Roman world, he also compared spiritual training to physical training. And this is what he writes in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly." And Paul encourages us to see our spiritual lives in a way as a training, like physical training. A rule of life is holistic. It's not just about spiritual practices, but involves more than behavior, but our attitudes and our values as well. And a spiritual trellis will include things like relationships, gifts and talents, desires, vision, and mission. Now, Ken Shigematsu, who is a former colleague of mine, has just written a book called God in My Everything. And he's coming to speak to us on Tuesday night at 7. I encourage you to come out. And this book is on the rule of life. And Ken says that there are three roots to the spiritual life, three important things to have at the base of your trellis. And these are prayer, scripture reading, and rest, particularly Sabbath rest, a 24-hour period where you withdraw from work in order to spend time with God and your family. And developing a rule starts with listening to the Spirit. Where is God prompting me to move into? And also listening to your own hearts and your own desires. Where are the places in your life where you feel most connected to God? Now, I'm going to put up an example of the rule of life that a friend of mine developed. His name's Jeff, and Jeff is an engineer. And so you can see his rule is quite structured. He's got stuff that he really helps him to connect with God. And as I said, everyone's rule will look differently, but this is a rule that helps Jeff to incorporate God into every part of his life. When you're developing a rule, it's important to only add one thing at a time. Not to say, okay, I'm going to put in five new spiritual practices or five new things in my life, but one at a time to start building in those things. And if you don't have any, I encourage you to start with those three roots that Ken talked about: prayer, scripture reading, and Sabbath. Secondly, when you're developing a rule of life, everything you add in, you're going to need to take something out. So, for instance, if you're going to add in scripture reading in the morning, and your current habit is to read four sections of the newspaper, you may need to say, okay, I'm going to only read one section of the newspaper so I can read scripture as well. So whatever you add in, you also need to take something out. And then be clear that a rule has to be flexible. It has to work with our lives. So, for instance, the ancient monks, if they were fasting, if that was part of their rule, and a visitor came, they would break their fast and celebrate and eat with a visitor. So a rule doesn't rule us, but it helps us. Finally, if you're going to make a life change, it's really helpful to find supportive friends who can walk with you in that change and who can encourage and support you, because it's difficult to change your life. I had a friend whose uncle had bypass surgery, and his doctor said to him, okay, you need to totally change your life, you need to lose 30 pounds, and you need to stop eating anything fat. Well, my friend's aunt just kept cooking how she'd always cooked, fatty foods, baking, fatty meals, and needless to say, he never changed his lifestyle. My parents are very different than that. My dad had the same problem. He had a heart attack, a quadruple bypass. He got the directions from the doctor, you know, change your lifestyle, lose some weight. And my mom partnered with him. So she totally changed her cooking. She changed her own diet. And the two of them together worked really hard so that my dad was able to lose weight, change his lifestyle. And to this day, 10 years later, he has no plaque in his new arteries because he's worked so hard at it. That kind of change is hard to do. And it takes the support of people around us. Now, as you contemplate developing a rhythm or rule of life, remember that there's a danger in it. There's a danger that we become a group of super smug, proud, self-righteous people who begin to define our spirituality by what we do. Remember that the goal of the rule of life is to help attune our hearts to God, to be able to listen to God and to receive God's love. And in turn, our lives will be transformed more into the image of Christ. We're creating a trellis or a rule to make room in our lives for God, to soften our hearts before God. The structure is not the goal or the end. And Jesus tells a parable that relates to this. It's found in Luke 18. And it's a parable of two men who went to the temple to pray. One of them was a Pharisee and one of them was a tax collector. Now, in the first century, Pharisees were very religious people who had a very strict structure and rule where they wanted to follow all the laws in the Old Testament. Tax collectors, on the other hand, were collaborators with the Romans. They stole money from their own people and were not very spiritual. So these two men go to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee, this is what Jesus says, the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to the heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And when it comes to spiritual rhythms, we don't do them in order to be holy, in order to feel proud of ourselves. We do them in order to open ourselves to God. And this invitation to pursue spiritual rhythms comes from a place of humility, of seeking God as opposed to a place of earning our holiness. Now, I want to conclude by giving you an example of three different kinds of spiritual rhythms. Remember, we're all different and our trellis will look different for each one of us. And so I've invited two of our congregation friends of mine, Anthic and Dan Hevnor, to come up and share part of their rule of life, and I'm going to share some of mine. So when I first became a Christian, I got involved in a campus ministry that had a very rigid rule of life. Everyone had the same one. And we all did what we were supposed to do, which was included an hour quiet time a day, sharing our faith, memorizing scripture. And when you think of rule as a trellis, it wasn't that kind of rule. It was a rule of lists of do's and don'ts. Now, I followed this rule for 7 years, and it actually helped me. It helped me connect with God and get to know God better. But the rule didn't really fit who I was as a person. And so as time went on, it began to become a heavy burden for me. And about 7 years in, I was reading scripture one morning and I just thought, I cannot do this anymore. And I shut my Bible and I put it away for several years. And at that point, I really thought, is my faith going to continue? I no longer have this rule. What's going to happen? But I sensed God calling me and inviting me to continue on in my spiritual journey. And so I got involved in some charismatic churches at the time, and it helped me learn how to listen to God. But I ended up having a rhythm that had no structure at all. So when I felt like connecting with God, I did. And when I didn't feel like it, I didn't. And maybe sometimes God broke in when I was surprised. But the pendulum had totally swung to the other side. And again, about 10 years in, I felt like God saying to me, Marty, there's more. You've got to start putting some structure back into your relationship with me. You've got to start doing your part. And so the first thing I added back was scripture reading, though not so rigid as I'd done before. And I began to add some other disciplines that were helpful for me in connecting with God. Some of those were disciplines of prayer, especially prayers of thanksgiving, and also a prayer called the Jesus Prayer that really helped me open myself up to God. I also continued on to be very disciplined in the discipline of community, which is very helpful for me as an extrovert, engaging prayerfully and regularly with friends on the journey, seeing a spiritual director, and inviting people to be part of my discernment process as I make decisions. Also, the discipline of service is very important to me. I don't want to just serve in this community, but I also serve in some different ministries. Particularly, I'm interested in serving in ministries that are involved in social justice and care for the marginalized and the poor. And I also give financially to the church and to these organizations as well. Another discipline I've tried to incorporate is retreat, going away and spending time in reflection and prayer. And that's very life-giving. If you've never done that, I want to let you know we're planning one coming up, November 1st and 2nd, called Creating Space for God, and Pastor Mark will be leading that. And finally, one of the attitudes that the Lord has really called me to cultivate is loving my neighbor as myself, trying to cultivate my love for people, living in relationship with people in a way that delights in them rather than judges them, faces into conflict, and tries to help reconciliation, apologizing when I'm wrong. This is a really important part of my rule of life, being at peace with all people. The discipline that God has really encouraged me, inviting me into this year, is the discipline of Sabbath. Taking time, 24-hour period each week, to not work, to put aside my emails, to put aside thinking and planning, and just to be present to God and my family. And that's something that I've decided to commit to this year. So I'm excited to see how God speaks to me through that. Stan?
Good morning. I'm a first service guy, so there's perhaps many of you who don't know me. It's interesting that Marty asked me to share about this at this time of the year, because September is a month when I'm very aware of my own inability to do this very well at all. My rhythm gets changed in the summertime quite a bit because schedule changes and we go on holidays, or, you know, the weather gets nice, and so there's always a reason to do something else. And I feel when I get to about the middle of June that I need to change. I need to do something different. And my problem is that I let that linger too long, so that by the time I get to the end of August, I'm listening to all these voices that are telling me what a schmuck I am and how I'm not very loving and how God is disappointed with me and all of this negative self-talk, which is a sign to me, an invitation, as it were, that, okay, there's something, you know, I'm just eating junk food, and I need to go and get a decent meal again. So I don't know whether any of you ever feel that way, but that's part of my rhythm that the Lord is talking to me about. But I wanted to give you just a little sliver of some of my practice, not the whole of rhythm of life for me, but some years ago when I was in a group and we were talking about spiritual disciplines, and I don't know whether any of you have had this feeling over the last few weeks, especially when you saw what was on the screen there before, it's like you start feeling really small because, there's no way I could do any of that. Or I feel guilty because I don't do any of that and I'm not good at it, and all of that stuff. And usually spiritual discipline talk would create all of that in me. But what started happening in the context of this conversation was this freeing realization that perhaps God wanted to lead me into something that was already present in the regular living of my life, that wasn't something totally from the outside, not like me at all, but that something that he was already bringing about and emerging in me. And how this came about was in the whole area of prayer. Now, prayer for me for years had been frustrating and guilt-inducing, and I didn't do it very well or very consistently, and it didn't seem to have much for me, and I didn't kind of get it. I just feel bad that I wanted to pray more and recognized, intellectually at least, that this was a good thing to do, but my practical experience was kind of lackadaisical and kind of boring, really, right? After about 2 or 3 minutes, it's like, well, now what? There's nothing more to say. But I started thinking about prayer as a conversation with God, as opposed to this spiritual category called prayer, but just a conversation with God. And I was then thinking about what my conversations with my friends were like. And what I realized right away was that a really good conversation with a good friend, for me, started getting good after about 20 minutes or half an hour. And then just got better after that. You know, I would go and visit some of my friends and we'd talk for an hour, for 2 hours, just about what was going on in our life and the questions we were struggling with and the realities of our life and family and kids and all of that stuff. And I thought also, if I had just had a 5-minute conversation with my friend, that would have been just so unlife-giving for me, right? A 5-minute conversation doesn't go to any sort of depth. And so I felt this kind of, hey, why don't you put two and two together? Maybe I could have a conversation with God the way I have a conversation with my friends. Maybe that's even possible. If you'd said, well, why don't you go and pray for an hour and a half, I would have thought, I can't do that. Because my experience of prayer was little 5 minutes, and so an hour just seemed like 5 minutes over and over and over and over again, which I thought, there's nothing worse than that. I can't imagine doing that. But when it comes to having a conversation with my friend, I can do that. I know how to do that. It's like the Lord saying, I've already given that to you, so why don't you try that with me? And so the gift in my life at that time was a schedule that allowed me to, I worked half of my work day in the morning, early in the morning, and I could go and spend an hour and just take some music, take a journal, take my Bible, and just do whatever, what might happen in a conversation. I would think about what was going on in my life. I would write some things down. I would listen to some music. Sometimes I would just fall asleep, and that's okay too. But this was just part of what the Lord was drawing me into, a new way of being with Him. So now I can't even imagine praying for only 5 minutes, because it just seems like, wow, you don't get anywhere with that. So it was a deep gift that was given to me, and didn't have a lot to do with me working really hard to figure out how to do that. Secondly, a practice that I try to incorporate and is more and more a part of where I feel the Lord taking me is this place of silence and solitude. And I'm somebody who thinks a lot. I think too much, actually, and I read a lot, and I'm thinking about spiritual things and concepts and ideas and questions and all of that stuff all of the time that's going on. And some time ago, I felt like God leading me into this place of silence, in effect saying, I don't need your words. I don't need you to present something to me that makes it okay for you to be with me. And that was hard, and still at times is hard, when I feel like the Lord's just saying, be quiet. Because it feels like nothing. It feels like I'm not bringing anything. I'm not, you know, saying anything interesting or talking about a new insight or any of that stuff. And sometimes even when I feel myself doing that, it's like the Spirit's hand just comes on me and says, stop. And so I picture myself with Jesus just not saying anything. Just recognizing slowly, slowly that the Lord wants to be with me. Even when I have nothing to bring. Even when I have nothing to say. No great new idea. No great prayer request. No wonderful new spiritual idea. It's like the Lord says, I don't need your words. I just want you. Ann? Where's Ann? Come on up.
Thanks, Dan. Good morning. Practicing the spiritual disciplines for me simply grew out of a real craving to hear God and know God more intimately. And it's been an interesting process. I felt that God's taken who I am and how he's wired me, and he's drawn me to those disciplines that most naturally allow me to engage with him. It's required me being intentional, but it's come from that desire just to really know him and to experience his love. And I've been asked just to give you a snapshot of what the rhythm of life looks like for me. My daily practices include a time with the Lord in Bible reading and prayer, in trying to love my husband and my kids well, in physical exercise, reading a chapter of a book that helps me grow spiritually, the prayer of examine I do at bedtime, and one of the most important is getting 8 hours of sleep. Because I actually happen to get really irritable and negative if I don't get enough sleep. So being intentional about staying rested helps me have capacity for the day and lets me live in an attitude of thankfulness, which I lose if I don't sleep well. Early in my faith, I couldn't have imagined giving up sleep for anything and not for Bible reading. But I've had now lots of seasons where I've been so excited to go to bed at night and set my alarm, knowing that I was going to get up to spend time with the Lord in the morning. But I have to confess that over this past year and a half, I've really struggled in this sort of foundational discipline. I took up a new sport of cycling, and I started going to early morning workouts. And I felt this real tension between wanting to go to my workout and spending time with the Lord in my Bible reading and scripture. And in the summer, it was so beautiful. I used to get up really early in the morning and go for a ride. And nature is one way that I engage with the Lord, and so that would draw me to him. And when I would cycling, I would try to pray and something other than just God keep me safe. And I would try and praise as I rode, but those are ways of me speaking to God, and I don't actually for myself hear very well from him unless I'm sitting still. So I'd come home intending to sit still, but just get really distracted in the day and it just would never happen. So right now I'm trying to build in reading the Bible and doing my prayer time at night and in the evening before I go to bed. And I'm still working to make that a habit. But that opening the Bible again for me and getting grounded in the Word again has been like, ah, I'm home. I'm back. And just wanted to go back to exercise just for a sec. For me, I never really understood or saw exercise as having a spiritual aspect. And for certain seasons of my life, it certainly has been about me and my love of endorphins. And I love to work out, and I feel better when I work out, and my husband knows that I'm easier to live with when I work out, for sure. But God gave me my body to house my spirit, and when that dawned on me, it put it into perspective for me, that taking care of my body through diet and rest and exercise is a way of honoring God. So being able to change my focus on exercise. My weekly practices include silence and solitude, date night with Michael each week, small groups that I'm involved in, being involved in community, and for me, spending time with my family, aging parents, and my friends. But that's a hard one for me at points because I really like to be home alone, and so it kind of pushes me a little bit. And in terms of Sabbath rest, we try on Sunday afternoons not to do our shopping or our errands or our house cleaning or laundry, that we can just have some unstructured time. Although I'm wired to move fast and to be active, I actually have a huge need for silence and solitude and time in listening prayer. Some of my friends are surprised that I can sit still, but I actually can. And I really need that time with the Lord. It's many of the contemplative practices that truly bring me closest to God. So time for me to just be alone or to sit in silence or to do journaling, to practice listening prayer, meditate on scripture, for me is what it feeds me and it grounds me and it allows me to hear God speak to me. I'm certainly no expert on any of these disciplines, and God is teaching me so much. I have so much to learn. A discipline I tried was last year for a very short season. I tried to fast one day per week, and I had lots of excuses. Mark talked about excuses. I had lots of excuses for not fasting. I was worried what would happen with my workouts if I didn't have my daily nutrition, or how would I be around food and prepare meals for my family if I wasn't going to eat, and what if I just got too hungry and I couldn't cope. But fasting actually created an opportunity for me to feel really close to Jesus, and I felt that I was spending a lot of time thinking about him, thinking about his sacrifices, thinking about his life. It also drew me into intercessory prayer for others. And I felt that fasting sort of realigned my perspective and my heart for compassion, my heart for social justice kind of came to the forefront as I was fasting. It was a really short season. Something happened. It got me off my habit, and fasting was really easy to get out of the habit of because I like to eat. And as the leadership today asks us to commit to a discipline to practice over the next few months, I'm praying about what fasting might look for me and how God might want to use it in my life. Just to close, a couple of things we do on a monthly basis. We do give financially, and we practice hospitality. And annually, we try to be more intentional now, Mike and I, about celebrating our wedding anniversary, about reevaluating our rhythm. And usually in September, as Dan said, it feels like a start of the year for us. And this year, Mike and I are both going to try individually to get away for a short personal retreat. So that's a glimpse into what my rhythm of life looks like, and it's unique for me, and it'll be unique to you for the season that you're in. But I hope that as Mark and Marty have preached over these last few weeks, that you'll feel encouraged and inspired to look at your own rhythm. And as Marty used the metaphor, to let that rhythm be a trellis to experience God's love more for you. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne and Dan. Something Dan said that really resonated with me is that when it comes to cultivating life with God, there's a way to cultivate life with God that looks and feels exactly like you. You don't have to do something unnatural so much of the time. God is already at work in your life, and He wants to draw you into life-giving rhythms that will feel life-giving for you. And so it's not about listening to Dan's rhythm or Anne's or Marty's and saying, well, which one do I like best and how do I do all of those things? It's about getting off the couch or maybe sitting down on the couch and beginning to practice one thing or two things that will open us to receive from God. Throughout the last 4 weeks, what we've essentially been saying is that there's a huge difference between trying and training. All of us have tried something new. We've given something a shot, and we either liked it or we didn't. If we didn't like it, we probably cast it aside. What we've been talking about is engaging the spiritual practices as a life-giving way of training that will regularly, consistently open us to receive all of the good things that God has in store for us. This morning, on behalf of our leadership, our staff, and our elders, I want to invite all of you in this year to make a commitment to training for life and godliness. The Apostle Paul says that physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things in this life and in the life to come. And what we find is what matters most to us in life always shows up in our calendars. So work commitments or school commitments, that birthday party of a friend. We put things in our calendars like that weekend away, the family wedding, soccer practice, working out at the gym, whatever it might be. We want to invite you in this calendar year to work God into your physical calendar, to make Him a part of your everyday life. And to help you and me do that, we're actually going to give you a commitment card, and we want to invite you to fill it out. And so at this point, ushers, if you wouldn't mind just coming forward, and you can hand out these cards so that everyone can grab one. I suspect some of you are here today, and you're just beginning in this journey of following Jesus. And you may not be very far along the journey. In fact, you may not have even fully decided that you want to follow Jesus. But opening yourself to some of these spiritual practices is a great way to get to know God. So if you're just beginning in this journey, or maybe re-beginning, then I want to encourage you to take a small step or two, like you might want to commit to reading the Bible and praying four times a week, just for 15 minutes at a time. Again, the goal isn't to get it done. The goal is to find yourself in a place where God can speak and guide and remind you that you are His dearly loved child. If you're thinking that the spiritual disciplines are homework, then you're thinking about it all wrong. It's not homework. It's coming home and finding ourselves to be at home in the Lord's presence. Now, If you are just beginning, though, when it comes to reading the scripture particularly, can I suggest maybe two resources you might want to consider? So one is something that we have at the back in the foyer, and it's called E100. And basically all it is it highlights 100 different scriptures in the Bible that are really critical scriptures, things that you can be reading and praying through over this next year. So if you're not sure where to start in your Bible reading, let me encourage you to pick that up. We have another resource called Solo. And what this is there's a Bible reading and a little bit of a spiritual thought for you to chew on for the day. So both of those are available for you at the back, and you can find them at the end of the service. Now, you might say to me, Mark, I'm already reading the scripture. I'm already praying. Is there something else I can practice? And the answer is, of course there is. But as far as what it might be, I think that's something for you and God to figure out. In this unique season of life, there may be a practice that God wants to invite you into. It can be fasting. It could be worship. It could be silence. It could be confession. It could be so many different things. But I want to encourage you to be asking the Spirit to guide you in what you should do. In just a moment, the worship team is going to come back up, and they're going to play a song or two for us to conclude. But for those of you who are ready today, who have been with us the last 4 weeks and have been thinking about what training might look like in your life, let me encourage you this morning, fill it out. Make your commitment. You can tear off the bottom part, and you can come up during the music, and you can put it in one of the baskets, and you take the other part home and slap it on your mirror, someplace where you can be reminded of what it is you want to commit to in this giving year. Or on your way out, you can drop off the card, or you can bring it back next week. But again, I want to say this because I'm not all about rules myself. It's not about filling out the card. It's about actually engaging with Christ so that he can pour into you the life and the love and the peace that all of us need. Does that sound good? Okay. I want to invite the worship team to come on up. And as they come up to lead us in a final song or two, I'm going to pray. So, Lord, sometimes even when we get practical and we start signing something or entering something into our calendar, it feels like spirituality just oozes down out of our feet into the floor, like it's sucked out of us. But we know that life in Christ, that the spiritual life isn't something that just happens magically. We know that you're the one who is cultivating our life in Jesus. We know that you're watering, that you're planting, that you're fertilizing, that you're growing. And yet, Lord, we recognize that we have to say yes. And we will not grow apart from intentional action. And so we commit ourselves this day into your hands. And we ask, Lord, that you would lead us in life-giving rhythms that would lead us into the fullness of life that you promise. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.